Hey heroes, we are back with another interview and we have an amazing guest today, Mr. David Allen, a really famous author of the book Getting Things Done and a very, very smart gentleman indeed. We're going to bring him on here today to talk about productivity, how to get into the zone, how to organize your workflow and so much more. David, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for the invitation. Sure.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, it's really great to have you here. And obviously, you are an expert in getting things done. And I suppose, you know, starting out here today, we're in a world now where things are complex. We've got distractions everywhere. How can we, in this environment, thrive and finally go and get things done?
Well, clarity is what's critical. So how do you get clear or stay clear, you know, in a world where it's pretty easy to be unclear or to have your mind cluttered or distracted by all kinds of things? So clarity, I think, is a real key. But for clarity, you need space. You don't need time. I mean, you might need some time to do what you need to do to get in the space, but basically you need room in your head. If you want to be creative or strategic or innovative or just present with your kids, you need room in your head. You don't need it to be distracted or wrapped around a whole bunch of the other stuff. It's very easy to get sucked into these days. It's very easy these days to get sucked into it because simply because of the speed and volume of access, you know.
100%. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. There's things flying at us left, right, and center. I think that clarity is hugely important, even for myself. I find that the idea you just said about space is huge. I guess like a lot of our audience, they're looking to build a small business right now, and many of them are working a job during the day, and they find when they get home in the evening, getting that space, getting that productivity can be very difficult. How can you reorganize yourself or how you feel, your energy levels, to get that clarity, to get that space so that when you do come home in the evening, you can actually go ahead and get things done?
Well, you don't have to go very far, Stephen.
Yeah.
You just need to notice what has your attention. When you're at home, what has your attention about your work? Why? And it's usually because you haven't appropriately engaged with whatever that situation is. Anybody listening to this right now may have had their mind, you may have had your mind actually wander off into something that has nothing to do with what Stephen and I are even talking about, even these few minutes. If that's true, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just start to notice, why are you being pulled away from what you thought you were going to pay attention to? And it's usually because that thing hasn't been captured, clarified, organized, and put into some sort of trusted external brain or external system that you trust you or the right person will see at the right time to be reminded of what you need to be reminded about. So if you want to get the day's work, if you want to get space, don't have the day's work hanging on you like barnacles. You know, you need to clean that up and you need to handle that. Doesn't mean you need to finish all that. Not at all. You'll never finish all that. I mean, there's always too much to do. What you need to do, though, is to make sure you've clarified what all that stuff is, park them in the right places, so that some part of you says, that's okay. It'll all wait till I get back there tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But that's not that you're not born knowing how to do that. You actually have to train yourself to do those practices that make that happen.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I suppose a lot of us, even in school, we were never taught this really. We were handed, you know, you go to these classes at these times during the day, rather than like you're talking about, you've got to come up with your own system, your own methodology for how you work. And I think it's an interesting point that some people think of productivity as a word or whatever, and it's always about reorganizing your desk or whatever it is, these little hacks. But what you're really saying here is that there's an overarching critical part of the system, which has been really clear about what you're trying to achieve and really, really focusing on that one thing. And I guess the tactics then, that is something that comes later in the process, or what's your opinion about all these so-called productivity hacks and tactics these days?
They could work right away. You know, why not? You know, I'll take anything right away that might improve something immediately. You know, what the heck? There's nothing absolutely wrong with that at all. I'm just suggesting that that's probably not going to get your head clear or keep it clear. You know, hacks are great. You know, I use a ton of them. But it's really, if you really want to get clarity, you need to decide, wait a minute, what's got my attention? And what do I need to do to get my attention off of it? And those are really key questions to ask and answer for yourself. You know, and it gets pretty subtle. You know, as you probably, you know, remember, you know, there's five steps to how anybody gets any situation more under control. And that's a capture, clarify, organize, reflect, and engage practice. Capture first. You mean got to identify what's got my attention. You have to identify it. A lot of people have stuff banging around in their head. They haven't stopped to say, wait a minute, why is this? What is this thing? Oh, yeah. Should we adopt? Should I get divorced? Should I hire the vice president? I need cat food. You know, God knows what it is that bangs around in people's heads. And most people have no idea how much of that stuff they actually have going. I know because I spent thousands of hours with some of the best and brightest actually unloading all of that. It's amazing how much stuff there really is. Most people have a lot more than they realize. The would, could, should, need to's, ought to's, need to handles, you know, all that stuff. So you've got to identify those first. And if you identify them, then write them down. But then if you stop there, you become a list, you know, then you have a, you know, you become list crazy. You got lists stuck all over everywhere. So you need to capture stuff to begin with, but then you need to then clarify what's on those lists and then organize the results. You wrote down mom. Great. Why? Yeah, you probably had one. Why'd you write it down? Oh, her birthday's coming. Oh, great. What are you going to do about mom's birthday? Oh, God, I don't know. And that's the problem. What a lot of people listening to this, if you folks listening to this right now pull out anything that looks like a to-do list, what you're probably not going to see are outcomes and actions. You're going to see things that remind you of something, of a situation that probably needs something done about it or decided about it, like mom's birthday, or you know, increase your credit line at the bank, or fix the tooth that hurts. You might see something good. So you've captured, but then you need to decide, okay, specifically, is that something I need to move on? And if so, what does moving look like? And what does done mean? So outcome and action become the clarification questions. That's a cognitive muscle you actually need to train. What am I actually, you know, committed to complete about mom's birthday? And then what would be my next action to make sure that that moves forward appropriately or I appropriately engage with it? So those become key questions that don't show up by themselves. You actually have to train yourself to ask those things, you know, about what has your attention. And that's why it's kind of like a mindset that you need to train. So that's not a, I suppose you could call that a hack. It's not a hack. It's the truth. It's the essence of what productivity is, outcome and action. Where we're trying to accomplish, and then how do we allocate our resources to get there?
Yeah, no, it feels a lot more strategic than tactical, that's for sure. And that's why you've obviously developed it for many, many years now. I won't say just how many in case you get annoyed with me, even though you do sound like a very young guy.
I'll be 76 in December, so I'll admit that right now. So
incredible.
I got a lot of miles on my tires, Stephen.
I hope I look like you when I'm 76. I really do. So when it comes to writing this stuff down, or are you suggesting as well the best methodology is like a journaling? Or I'm also pretending like I haven't read your book, David, just so you know, for the benefit of our listeners. What's your recommendation when it comes to this? Is it like an organized journal we use on a continual basis?
Any of that. Anything works. As long as you can write it down or externalize some notation about it so it gets out of your head. See, in your head, where people are tracking stuff in their head, that seems to have no sense of past or future. So it spins in there eternally, wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning with stuff you can't do anything about. And that's your mind, your brain did not evolve to remember, remind, prioritize, or manage relationships between more than four things. That's it. They've now proven that with cognitive science research. If you're trying to keep track of more than four things of your would, could, should, need to's, ought to's, you won't be able to take a test as well. You won't be able to be as present with your kids. You won't be able to cook spaghetti as well, period. And that's just proven data now in terms of that. So your brain evolved to do very cool stuff. You know, it's using long-term history and pattern recognition to know that's a computer, that's a light, that's a, you know, whatever. There's a tiger over there and there's berries in the bush and whatever. But then you go to the store for lemons and you come back with six things and no lemons. What happened? Oh my God, I tried to use my head as my office, and your head is just a really crappy office. So that's the biggest problem most people listening to this have, is they're trying to use their head as their office. And so anything that can externalize all that stuff, get it out of your head. And it's not just a passive process. It's a very creative process to sit down and unload all the stuff that has your attention. Big, little, personal, professional, doesn't matter. Get it all out. And you'd be amazed at the experiences people have once they do just that. Now, you don't want to leave it there, but that's an absolutely critical first step.
It's funny you say that, because when I read your book, that was a practice that I brought in of getting things down on paper. And sometimes I forget that practice and I bring myself back to it. And anytime I fall out of the habit of doing it, I always find, something wakes me up in the middle of the night. I cannot do anything about it. And I'm thinking about it simply because I'm relying on my brain. And so it's a great reminder for me to keep doing that. I do, but I could be doing it a lot more. And it's so true what you say. I mean, I think as well, a lot of people, like part of your book as well, you talk about stress-free productivity. That's a big part of it. And when you write stuff down, I often find personally, the thing that felt complicated and multifaceted in my brain, it's actually quite simple when you write it down. But it's just, we want to avoid doing that because sometimes it feels more exciting or something like that stored in our brain. Have you seen that be a thing that's common?
No, I think, Stephen, it's people's addiction to control.
Yeah.
That if you keep it in your head, you think, I can keep control of this if it's in this space that's just mine. If I externalize it, oh my God, I might lose it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen about it. And it's not very conscious. But, it's the great human addiction is to try to be and stay or maintain and control. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest reason. It makes people feel a little vulnerable to actually deal with the current reality of all their commitments. Take a look.
It is quite incredible how many commitments we have nowadays. And you're right, it can be overwhelming. But to kind of come back to where we are in our process, then we've really clarified where we're looking to go. We're looking and focusing on what gets our attention. We're really doing a brain dump, let's call it, of all the different projects and things that are going on at any one time. Obviously, now we have this massive, plethora of things that we have the opportunity to do, etc. Where do we go from there?
Well, the probably the most transformational thing is to take each one of them one at a time and go, well, what's the very next action I would need to take if that's the only thing I need to finish or get closure on? Very few people have actually made that granular decision about what doing actually looks like on the things they want to get done. Once they do that, that changes the game, exponentially. Really, believe me, I spent thousands of hours with some of the best and brightest having them do that process and go through all the stuff that was on their mind and then make next action decisions about it. Some things you don't want to act on. You just need to throw away or reference them or store them for later review or whatever. But anything you said that I do need to move on as soon as I could possibly move on it, you need to decide what's the next action. And if one action won't finish it, then you need to clarify what's the project that you're committed to complete about this. So mom's birthday. Great. What's your next action? Oh, God. I should probably call my sister, see what she thinks. Great. Now you have a next action. What's your final outcome? Is calling your sister going to finish it? No. I think celebrate mom's birthday is what I'm really trying to do. Great. Now you have a project called celebrate mom's birthday. You have a next action called call your sister and think, see what she thinks about what you ought to do. And then that's the clarification step, which is critical to do, just that. But then you can't just leave it there unless you want to call your sister that second and go have the birthday that evening, birthday party. But what you need to do is then keep track of that. So now you need organization. I need to organize a reminder about calling my sister and a reminder about giving mom a birthday, party or celebrating that. So that's where your organization comes in, is keeping track of the outcomes and actions that you clarify from the things that you have captured. So that's why each one of these steps has its own best practices and its own tools. I capture mostly low-tech pen and paper because there's no batteries, no Wi-Fi required. It's ubiquitous. It's with me. It's all the time. But then I go through and clarify what these things mean. And if I need to keep track of something, after the moment, then that goes into my list manager, which is to me digital right now. And so those are very different behaviors. And most people think it's all one thing. Let me go get organized. They sit down and make a list and then feel, and then they feel a little bit better, but frankly, it doesn't solve it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, there's only so far a human can go as well, even with productivity, right? Because we only have so much time today, resources, energy, stuff like that. So I'm guessing for you as well, and for people listening to, even if you're not like a high flying CEO, some kind of outsourcing at different times or bringing in other people is going to be helpful. And it's part of productivity too. Would you agree?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, anything that you can afford to have somebody help you do it so that you don't have to do it, so you can do other cooler stuff. Absolutely. Why not? It's just efficiency. Sure.
And is there a way to gauge as a human when you've hit the upper level of what's possible for you from a productivity standpoint? Like, you're like, oh man, I need to dial it back, or I got to bring people in. Is there, because with your process, I find, and people say it to me all the time, they don't know how I can do so much, but it's down to having systems like we're talking about today to help me personally in a big way. But when do you know you've gone too far, I guess is my question.
Is when you're doing so much out beyond what your quality of life really wants to be experiencing. In other words, are you relaxing enough? See, productivity has got a lot of baggage around the word. But if you go to a party to have fun and don't have fun, it's an unproductive party, right? If you take a weekend vacation to relax and don't relax, that was an unproductive vacation. So productivity just has to do with producing whatever you want. So a lot of people, and the truth is, Stephen, you know, a lot of people who catch GTD get on this bandwagon with themselves. They get so excited. How many things? Oh my God, look how many things I can now do. And look how many more things I can do. And they keep throwing things into their own in basket because they know they could get it done, because they know how to manage it. They know how to capture, clarify, organize, and then engage and reflect and engage. And they start to overwhelm themselves with their own productivity. And at some point they hit the wall and go, well, wait a minute. You know, I feel like I'm burning out with all my productivity.
Yeah.
Well, you sort of lost the idea of what productivity really means. I mean, productivity means producing the life you want. Right. And if the life you want, it's not burning out. It could be getting it to a certain place where financially you're okay or just comfortable enough so that you can enjoy your dogs and enjoy your life partner and enjoy cooking and enjoy, you know, the hobbies you really love and other stuff like that. And time to reflect, you know, meditate, whether that's reflection or just, you know, contemplative, you know, time, which we know now is absolutely critical to keep your brain optimal. So, you know, all those, you know, are factors. It's not about more. You know, come on. You know, and people really misunderstand all that.
I've got that wrong many times. You know, in my own life, I can take on so much, and I am excited about taking on a lot of things and all of that, like you just said. But certainly for me, there have been many times where you said it about our own productivity has kind of burned us out. You know, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there many, many, many times. Even at the moment, I'm going through a very busy spell in our companies as we grow new companies. And I've got to remind myself, because like you said, you know, even if you go away for a weekend and you're just working or busy or whatever, as you just mentioned, it's unproductive. And I've experienced that. I suppose my question is, how do we get off? How can we stop the addiction? Or is there, how do we do it?
Slow down. No, come on. It's the speed up by slowing down. You know, I learned this several years ago. As a matter of fact, I kept telling myself, because I find myself in a spin where I don't have time. I've got to do this fast. And I said, well, wait a minute. What happens if I just say, I have plenty of time to get there? And I relax. And then I get better ideas. I'm more efficient. I'm more effective. I see easier ways to get from here to there.
I read something which really, really changed my life. But some people don't like it, but I love it. It's an idea from Dan Sullivan. He talks about the 25-year plan for your business, for your life. And I believe it's like you have 100 quarters in that period of time. So even if, you know, this quarter doesn't go particularly well for you, you still have, say, it's only 1% of your overall plan has been taken up, right? So I think what you're saying, like, would you agree that some or a lot of people with the society that we have nowadays, we don't give ourselves enough time to actually get to the place we want to get to?
Yeah. I mean, there's an old personal growth axiom. You can never get enough of what you don't really need. So you'll never get enough time if time is what you don't really need. What you really need is the quality of experience.
Interesting.
So, and everybody thinks, if I work harder, I'll feel better. But, you know, working harder is not what they really need, and they can never work hard enough. So then you get on the squirrel cage, or you get on the gerbil wheel, or whatever that thing is, and you just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. And you know, at some point, you have to go, stop. You know, yeah. And get off, you know, stop the world. I want to get off.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk as we try to keep these shows snappy because you're a busy guy and I really appreciate you being here. Just as we do get to towards the end of our time together, let's talk a little bit about some of those other things. I did talk about them as kind of hacks earlier on. You mentioned how you'll take whatever you can get. And obviously we're really saying, those of you listening, you go read David's book, obviously. And you're applying what we're talking about today, getting clarity and all of that, getting organized. When you're in to get into a zone, then when you're working, are there particular things you use while you're working to do your best work?
I have a Spotify playlist called Work Classics. It's classical music that I put on while I'm doing work, which I found, you know, for the most part, sometimes not, but for the most part, it's great to have a background for me. But that's just me personally. Not everybody is that auditory or likes to hear that, or they'd be distracted by that. But sometimes it helps get you in the zone or keep you in the zone. You know, like having a nice environment, you know, that, you know, really makes a lot of difference in terms of where you are.
Yeah, changing the environment too, right? A little bit. So just not always being
in the same room. Or making sure that the environment has multiple horizons for you to engage with. For instance, I'm sitting right now in my little studio we built in this new apartment that we just bought in Amsterdam, and I'm looking out on my balcony because I just hired a company, which is a great company that supplies planters for your balcony, and they change them with every season. So I'm looking out on four wonderful planters right now, so that as I stop, even as I'm talking to you, I can look out on the breeze blowing on, you know, some flowers and a bee on the flowers, and you know, people walking. So the fact that I've built it in so that I have those multiple horizons, just like a restaurant. You know, you don't want to be in an enclosed restaurant with only you and your other person there, unless you're trying to propose to them or something.
You know? It's true.
But otherwise, you know, once you've already proposed or once you've already have a relationship, you'd rather actually skim around and look around and, you know, sort of engage in the multiple horizons that good restaurants have set up in their environment. So I think that's a key element. And obviously, doing stuff you love to do, or doing stuff that's easy to do, or that gets you in your zone, you know, is critical.
Well, I think on that point, it's phenomenal, because obviously you're an expert in this area for a long time now, one of the best known in the world in this space. And I mean, for myself personally, I talk about Amazon, selling on Amazon, building internet businesses, marketing, things like that. I've been doing it for nearly 11 years now, all in. Sometimes I get a little bit tired of doing that. So the fact you've been able to talk about this topic for so long is a testament to the passion you've brought to the table. And I think that for anybody listening, you know, getting to a place of passion is important and does make you more productive, as you've proven. So just from my perspective, I want to talk to you a little bit about where are places people can go? Obviously, there's your book, and you can certainly talk about that. But I'd love to just get a range of different places. People today listening to you, they've got a flavor for what you do, and many have likely read your book before. Where can they go as a next step, right? And then we're talking about the next step in decisions with to work with yourself. What can they do?
Oh, there are lots of different avenues, Stephen. I mean, obviously, gettingthingsdone.com is our website.
Yep.
If you're interested in more in-depth training and coaching, you know, about this methodology, we have brilliant stuff that we've certified to do both coaching and training around the world. So if you go to our website and click on training and coaching and type in your country, you'll see who's got the, that we've licensed and certified to do our work and, you know, there. A great partner in the US and Canada is, they were Vital Smarts. Now they're Crucial Learning, great company. And they're delivering that GTD focus in the US and Canada are delivering our one-on-one coaching. And quite frankly, just if you want to kind of sort of taste more of kind of what this looks, sounds, and feels like, just go to gettingthingsdone.com/YouTube and you'll see me in multiple, my three TED Talks. You'll see, you know, little snippets of me in videos talking about this stuff. And you see all kinds of things. We also have a free newsletter you can sign up for. So there's multiple avenues, obviously, that you can take advantage of.
So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't recommend.
Have at it.
Yeah. I couldn't recommend everything you do more. I've been a learner of yours for a long time. I know we haven't got to meet before, so it's been a real pleasure for me to get to speak to you. Just to get even 30 minutes of your time has been a real pleasure for me and for my audience as well, David. So I'll certainly make sure we get that out to everybody. Please do go visit the site, everyone. And I would also recommend the coaching as well if you really want to take this on to the next level. And those of you that are in business and are really rocking it, I think it's an absolute no-brainer. If you're at the place where, you know, you don't have maybe as much to invest right now, go and pick up the book. It'll change your life. That is absolutely for sure. So, David, thanks once again for your time. I really appreciate it. And hopefully our paths will cross again.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation. It's been fun. Good luck, everybody.